Yay. Aloha, everyone. Much love and blessings from another beautiful day in Hawaii. Yesterday was my physical birthday. It was sunny and hot. Today is raining over here. Gray skies, and it's very wonderful that we have superheroes from all over the world in many, many different countries, different time zones, different conditions, different places, all shining brightly. That's a wonderful thing. So thanks for tuning in, and we're looking forward to answering all your questions, sharing some deep insights that you may have not heard ever before this call. In each call, we're revealing things that may or may not be in the training itself, so it's really worth paying attention to these live calls and listening to them again and going back over into the archive, because we've got about a year and a half or 2 years worth of these archived, so you have a huge resource of these Q&A sessions that you can also enjoy. I recommend you put them on your iPhone or whatever you use and listen to them when you're driving around or when you're walking about, so you can just really tune into this stuff more than, just take advantage of it in your day. It's really powerful stuff. So, have we got Nicole Taylor on the call? I'm not hearing anyone, but I'm sure they'll join us. And let's just take a moment, take a few deep breaths. Take a few deep breaths, nice deep breaths. Take a little bit of time to pause, to go deep, to relax, release. Allowing your body to relax, allowing the breath to fill you up, really enjoying the breath, enjoying deep, nourishing, nourishing breaths. Yeah. And just remember to tune in that each one of us is an eternal being. Let's just take a big smile, put a big grin on your face, nice big smile, and just remember that you are the eternal consciousness witnessing yourself as this person, witnessing the body, witnessing life happening around you, and just realizing that there is a space between the world around you and who you truly are. And let's just breathe into that space, breathe into that vast expanse of peace that exists behind the eyes within the soul that you are, that we all are. Just imagine a beautiful shining light, a beautiful shining light of peace. Imagine a bright, peaceful star shining constant and powerful peace in all directions, constantly, constantly, constantly. Just letting everything else dissolve into the peace. Enjoying the peace. Releasing, letting go. Enjoying the peace, releasing, and letting go. And as you enjoy this peaceful feeling flowing through you, I just want you to bring into your awareness one of your intentions for joining the training. What is one of the things that you wish to attain, to manifest, to actualize? Why are you doing this? What's one of the things that is meaningful to you, that lights you up from the inside? What's something that you believe you can achieve? that you're inspired to manifest that brings you joy. And just bring into your awareness that thing, that experience, that moment in time, that situation, whatever it is that you are wanting to attain. And just bringing that into your awareness, imagining that you already have that. It's already here in your reality, in your life, physically, deeply, practically. You can touch it, experience it, feel it. How do you now feel now that you have achieved this thing or this situation? Noticing how great you feel. You know it's the real deal when you have a little grin, a little smile, a little chuckle, and it goes in and you really feel, ah, yes, this is good, this is good. So just tune into that feeling of having attained one or more of your intentions of being on the training. And bringing that feeling back into your body, all the way down into your feet. Bring those good feelings all the way down into your feet, with all your feet. All the way down into your feet, into your cells, into your DNA, into your energy body, all the way into all levels of your being. And feel free to repeat this simple but powerful process as much as you want throughout the day. Fantastic. So we're going to take some questions now. Got some great questions today. Got one here from Andrea in Arizona. And Andrea basically says, let me just read the question here, get it word for word. Andrea says, I'm very curious about the topic of how we are in this material world. As an illusion we are living in, trapped in another's illusion, like the Illuminati group, seeking knowing who and what we really are, etc. These concepts are so deep, but I feel them beginning to clarify as I continue the superhero training. Would you please discuss these concepts as you see them in reality and how you've come to understand them? I'm finding that the more I hear other concepts on topics I've not grasped yet has been really helping to open doors of understanding and new possibilities. Thank you so much. Love and blessings. Andrea. So do any of you guys want to share anything on that question? Alrighty then. So here's my understanding of this, how we are in the world. There's a lot of different opinions about this. And one of the most empowering perspectives that I personally subscribe to, because it really works for me, and I feel not only does it work, that it's actually what's happening, is that each one of us is a spiritual being, a non-physical, eternal being, and we can never, ever, ever die. And not only can we never die, we've never been born either, because eternal means it has no beginning and no end. And this is such a profound concept that really is worth going very, very deeply into. and not thinking that you already know this, but to experience it deeper and deeper and deeper until it becomes so profound that it overtakes you. And this may take many years to go to that level of depth. And a lot of our meditations and also some of the binaural beats that we give you on the training can help you to go deep into that experience, but just really to take your time to experience who you truly are beyond your name, beyond your body, beyond all these things, because most people still think they are their body, they still think they are their name, they still think they are all the labels, even if they think they're spiritual, they're not really coming from that place. So really take advantage of learning and experiencing who you are. And the reason I'm saying about understanding who you are is because your relationship to the world is dependent on your relationship to yourself. And the first and most important thing is to understand who is it that is having an experience in the world in the first place. And being who's having an experience in the world is the soul, and you are that soul. Now, here's where it gets very, very deep, is that inside of each one of us, we are all individual souls. Inside of the soul is contained the part, you could say, or the experience that we have in the world. So in other words, everything you experience in your life, including how you feel, what you say, what you don't say, you know, people, we've got the roosters agreeing with me maybe, or having his own opinion. So whatever is going on in your life, in your world, including the roosters, or including other people, situations, and other things that are going on, the sky, the trees, money, cars, everything, all of the different aspects of life are all contained inside of this tiny little soul. So, you know, we might think, okay, I'm this person wandering around in the world, but really, in a way, the world is inside of you, and you're having your own completely unique experience that no one else in this entire world will ever have. And so really, we do live in our own world. And this idea that there are the Illuminati and all these different factors on the outside and all this, it's, you know, it's interesting. And I'm not saying that there is no outside world in any way whatsoever, but a lot of people subscribe to the idea that there are these, you know, covert forces against us, and they're manipulating our reality, and they have all this power over us. Also, a lot of people believe that all their negative experiences come from someone else or somewhere else or on the outside, and basically blame everyone else for how they're feeling. And I found those beliefs to be highly disempowering, because what we're essentially saying is that the reason I'm feeling bad is not my fault, it's someone else's fault. And so there's nothing I can do about it. So I find the most powerful perspective is to take the position that I, the soul, am having my own experience, and all of these different things, the Illuminati and the banks and the different government forces and all these different things, they're all part of my personal experience. And I'll experience them in my own way. You know, no one else will experience them. And all that does is it disempowers other people, disempowers the illusion that there are all these huge things affecting us and influencing us. And it empowers us to take charge of our own reality. And I think that's ultimately what we come back to. And you'll hear this in all the most high frequency spiritual teachings in the world always say the same thing, that it's subjective reality. There's no such thing as the objective world. You know, you can't prove really anything exists outside. It's just personal opinion. Even scientists have found out that by them trying to study the world, they realize that they affect the world they're studying. So, you know, they can't really measure anything without them being part of it, you know. So, essentially what it means is that you are your own creator of your own reality. Everything happening is inside of you. And all these ideas about outside forces and Illuminati are just basically things happening inside of your own world. So the whole world is your world. You own your own world, basically, which includes everything you ever experience from the moment you come here to the moment you leave. It's all inside of you. And that makes you empowered, and it makes you realize you might as well be loving and graceful and appreciative and in wonder of your world rather than fighting with it and blaming these supposed outside forces that are really just inside of yourself. And, you know, this might sound theoretical at this point, but as you experience more and more and more of who you are and experience that sense of profound peace, then you begin to feel the power of this for your own self. And it goes from being theory to being a lived reality. So, I hope that was useful. We've got another question here from Jennifer Henry. Aloha, Jennifer. She says, Aloha, everyone. Please share your thoughts and inspiration about the powerful pull of addiction. I've struggled with this most of my life. From the less than best foods to eat, to coffee, sugar, cannabis, alcohol, the list goes on. I feel like I've overcome most of the pull, but a part of me still gives into the occasional indulgence in coffee or less than really good foods that make me feel bad. Please share your thoughts on this topic. Lots of love to all, Jennifer. Yay, that's a great topic. Hooray. So, unless anyone else wants to share anything. So, basically, addictions, I think, you know, if we're honest, everyone has addictions, but there's just levels of addiction that we're dealing with here, and the most extreme addictions completely rule us, so that all we're thinking about all day long is how can we attain the experience we want to have, and our entire life is based on addiction. I remember I used to be addicted to cannabis and other drugs when I was a teenager, and I remember... All I could think about was smoking cannabis and getting cannabis. If I didn't have any, I wanted to get it. And if I had it, I would be smoking it. And that was basically all I did for quite a few years. And until it got to the point where where it didn't have any effect on me anymore, and I had all these different kinds of drugs, and none of them had any effect on me. And I was just staring myself in the face and had to basically wake up, and I realized that the reason that I was chasing all these addictions is because I was spiritually bankrupt, you know. And what happens, it's just good to understand this, the reason we like to consume substances, the reason people get addicted to anything, whether it's, you know, food, substances, drugs, sex, money, gambling, whatever it is, the reason people are addicted to things is because what happens is it gives there's certain chemicals in the brain get released. Dopamine is a big one, and serotonin. Adrenaline also, but mainly dopamine and serotonin. And on a David Hawkins talks about this, that when people do drugs specifically, what happens is the ego, which is the part of us that basically screws up how we see life. You know, the ego essentially is like a filter, and we're looking through like a cloudy window, a murky window onto the world, and so the world doesn't really look like it really is. So we're seeing a very cloudy, distorted, dark version of what's happening, what the reality is for us. You know, what is potential for us as a spiritual being is just so amazing, just truly profound, that the ego is clouding it over. And when people do drugs, especially psychedelic drugs, but even things like alcohol, cannabis, you know, you get it more with LSD and ayahuasca and things like that, cactuses, it removes the filter of the ego. So the ego is temporarily removed, so the bright wonder of reality shines through. And I've experienced this on different drugs, especially mushrooms and things like that, where all of a sudden it's just profoundly wonderful. It's like, life is so much more interesting, so much brighter, so much more fascinating. Not because the drug did anything, because the drug doesn't have any power. You know, the drugs and substances themselves don't really have any power. It's the soul that has all the power, and it just removes the ego, essentially. So it's a spiritual thing that's going on with these addictions. And we experience the wonder of life as it is really going on all the time. It's just that we were clouded. And we love that feeling of being in our higher power, essentially. We love that experience so much that we keep going back to the substance to re-experience ourselves. And it happens to a lesser degree with things like coffee and sugars and stuff like that, food. It's not quite as much. Drugs is more. Alcohol is more. But it still happens to some degree. You know, even the sense of being satiated when someone's had a good feed and they feel full, you feel a sense of peace, which is a spiritual experience. Peace is a spiritual feeling, or fullness is a spiritual feeling. So anyway, once I had done enough drugs and I realized it didn't work anymore, I didn't get the spiritual experience, that's when I actually had a proper spiritual experience, and I woke up to the reality of who I truly am. And that soul nourishment allowed me to experience a completely different life, and allowed me, like miraculously, I went from totally addicted to cannabis and drugs to giving all drugs and cannabis up. Everything, you know, all stimulants, became vegetarian, everything, all of a sudden, all in one go, because I had these spiritual experiences. So once I had that experience that I was going for drugs, for the real deal, coming from myself, once that shift happened and I was experiencing the real version, then all the addictions just naturally faded away. Wasn't any effort. And all my friends were wondering, there's no way you're going to keep doing this. There's no way you'll be able to carry on like this. But I had such powerful experiences that I just genuinely wasn't interested anymore. So just understand that when you're going after addictions, and when you're going after the foods or this or that or the other, just understand, what are you trying to get out of it all? Because there's nothing in the foods or the drugs. It's just you want to experience your sense of wonder and contentment and deep inner excitement, really, from the inside. You want to experience the wonder of life. That's really why you're going for addictions. That's why everyone does it. And we provided you with the tools, the meditations, the techniques to experience that without the drugs. So obviously, you know, it can be easier to just pop a pill or to, you know, smoke something or have a drink than it is to stop, relax, change your thinking, change your perspective and go into a deeper brain state. You know, it is, or it can be easier just to do the quick fix, but it actually isn't that hard to go for the real deal either. So I highly recommend next time you feel the addictions coming over you, just to understand what is happening is that you're trying to experience a higher state of consciousness and then just realize, look, I've got this practice with the training. Let's keep doing that. And just another thing to mention is that you want to make your life designed, make your life specifically designed to be easy for you, you know. And what I mean by that is surround yourself with high-frequency people, high-frequency music, high-frequency spiritual teachings, high-frequency physical things and environment, clean and tidy, you know. Look after your health. The more you surround yourself physically with high-vibe things, the less likely you are to want to pursue addictions, you see. You know, because a lot of the time addictions are triggered by certain situations, you know. So if someone, you know, whenever they go out to hang around with a certain person, they always end up drinking. You know, it's going to be very hard to keep going to that person's house who always drinks, you always drink with them and not drink. So in those kind of situations, the best thing to do is to meet them somewhere else or stop hanging out with them at all, or you know, do something different to break the routine, because addictions are often pattern-based routines, you know. And if you know that, you know, at a certain time of day, you're likely to want to smoke cannabis, then you might want to think, well, what can you do to replace that that's going to be satisfying to you at that time of day so that you're less likely to do it? So a lot of the times, you know, it's all in the setup, as Taylor is always saying. How can you set your life up so that you experience higher consciousness on a regular basis, you know, and you replace in your schedule and in your lifestyle those times where you're likely to fall into addiction, you replace them with positive habits that really do the trick. So, you know, exercise is great, listening to great music, meditation, dancing, you know, there are lots of different things that can bring you joy that are going to be building strength rather than cultivating addictions. And one of the best things to do, I find, is get up early in the morning, meditate, set your day straight first thing in the morning, you know, because the better your morning is, the better your whole day is, and you visualize having the best day ever, and then you just follow that through, and it just is fantastic. And just another tip about addictions is, you know, one of the things I've noticed is that the more disciplined my life is, the more I basically pack my day with cool things that I like to do. So I wake up and I do a cool thing, then I do this for an hour, then I'm doing another cool thing for another hour, and I time everything and I'm doing cool things all day long. You know, David Wolf was sharing that his day is broken up into two-hour slots. You know, he's 2 hours of this, 2 hours of that, 2 hours of this. You know, so that, you know, this is kind of schedule that I follow, is 2 hours of this kind of thing, 2 hours of that kind of thing. And you very religiously follow your structure, putting really cool things into your day. That way, there's no space for these addictions to come and get you, because you've already chock-a-block filled your day with cool stuff. But if you're just waking up and going with the flow and floating around, who knows what's going to happen? You know, you can be taken away by unconscious behaviors very easily. So get up early, cram your day with really cool stuff, follow it religiously, realize that all addictions are just a cry for you to experience higher consciousness. And so just experience higher consciousness through the practices that we've been sharing. All right, fantastic. So, Nicole Taylor's got anything to say?
Yes, I do, in fact. How
Yay.
Are you, Mr. McIntosh?
Wonderful. How are you doing?
Very well. Looking forward to spring. Springing forth. You know, it's about that time in the East Coast where really, I mean, if it doesn't get sunny real soon, there's going to be a lot of upset people. I'll tell you that. Just a little bit more on this topic of addictions. I think we often just think of addictions as things like, you know, sugar, alcohol, cannabis, this type of things. But really, it could be said that almost everything is an addiction of some sort or another. Then the question just becomes, is it a healthy one? Including like patterns that we have, dysfunctional patterns or ways of being or beliefs. So we're kind of always, as human beings, on a spiritual path of evolution. Really, every choice point that we're making, we're choosing to really, I mean, kind of in a way, look at all of life as what are the things that we want to choose, whether they're thoughts or foods or habits or that are most consistent with what the life we want to create is. And if we're up to spiritual evolution and optimum well-being and living with joy, then that then calls to us our choices that we navigate toward. And so what I think really can be supportive in making choices that support your highest good are really being clear about what is in your highest good. What is your soul's calling in your path? Because that pretty very quickly then, you know, for me, like the idea of going and sitting, you know, like somewhere and eating like nachos with cheese. It'd be just like, what? I mean, it's not even in my reality. Like I could even think about doing anything like that. What really calls me into being and has me kind of make the choices I do is what it is I'm committed to, what it is my life's about. And so the clearer you are about that, then it's obvious. It's just obvious. It's like, well, no, I mean, why would I ever smoke cigarettes if I'm committed to optimum well-being? I mean, that doesn't really go. That doesn't fit in that commitment. And so it handles a lot of stuff right off the bat. You know, if you're committed to, you know, a life of optimum well-being and, you know, vital thrivingness and longevity, then you kind of choose protocols that support that, just like it is if you're committed to being and, you know, having happy, being in joy, living a life of joy, then, like Michael's saying, you don't probably hang out with people that are not consistent with that or have thoughts that aren't, you know, like for me, if I notice that I'm having unsupportive thoughts or disempowering thoughts, and there's a big habit right there. We all have our addiction, you know. You know, just as quick as I can, I I get a hold of myself and replace those thoughts with thoughts that really are supportive. And so, you know, I would look at this whole thing as addictions more from the place of the clearer and more conscious you are about what your life's about, that then calls you into being. And the addictions sort of just aren't even part of the whole package, really. I mean, it's a lot easier to not even have any desire or any conversation going on when there's enough juice in what you're up to you know, put you in a certain flow of your life. So I just wanted to add that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great. You know, I think, you know, when we remember why we're doing what we do, you know, what's the purpose of our life, like Taylor's saying, and then we weigh that up against this sabotaging behavior, it just doesn't seem like a good idea anymore, you know. But if you don't have any reason to change the way you act or think, then you won't, you know, because patterns and habits just go around, around, around. So yeah, so that's why getting up in the morning and getting clear on what you're all about, what's the purpose of your life, why are you alive, you know, what inspires you, what gets you going, what's your reason for being, that in itself is so powerful that it can remove these things from even coming to you, you know. And I wanted to underscore something Taylor said that, you know, she just said it fairly lightly, you know, just passing. But she said when she sees that she's having negative thoughts, which we all have on some level, she replaces those thoughts with positive thoughts. Right? Now, did you hear that? When you have negative thoughts, replace the thoughts with positive thoughts. Very few people I've met realize that they actually can replace their thoughts, strangely enough. Most people don't realize they have the power to choose new thoughts in their own head. You know, this might sound like, well, yeah, we know that, but that is a very, very profound and powerful thing to be doing. And really, this is our main mission in life in terms of the inner game, is to shift and transform our perceptions and our thinking. And it's something that you can do. You know, I remember when I first mentioned this to my mother, she's been studying spirituality for years and years and years, and she just had this big moment, oh my God, you mean I don't have to have those thoughts, I can have other thoughts? And thinking on purpose is the first step to living on purpose. So if you want to create the life that you want and create the things that you want in your life, the first step before that is to think on purpose. So, you know, I don't know what degree each superhero is doing this, but I guarantee all of us can up our game on this level and choose what thoughts do we want to think in our own head. And whenever you catch yourself thinking negatively about somebody else, thinking negatively about a situation, or just round and round and round, then immediately catch hold of that and say, no, you know, this is not really supporting me at all. What do I want instead? And then focus your energy on the thing that you want, the thing you want to experience, the thing you want to attain, the experience that brings you joy. Shift it. You know, this is the key factor of personal mastery, and it's a matter of just taking charge and not letting this nonsense to continue and shifting it, you know, think on purpose. And, you know, initially it's hard work because you're not used to doing it, but it becomes easier and easier and easier as we do it. Taylor, do you want to just share some thoughts on this? Because I think this is like a key thing that if someone cracks the code on this, everything else in their life is going to be easy. Because all problems, this is worth remembering, everyone, all problems we have are the consequence of a weak mind. Every single problem in our life is caused by a weak mind. You know, when the mind is all over the place, we have a totally crazy life. So, Taylor, what's been your experience about this?
Yeah, it's funny because for me, it really is just second nature now, or maybe first nature, to do that. And I agree, it is just, it is the skill, I would say, to master. In mastering, and having mastery over the ego, and having mastery in life. And it's as you were talking, I realized not only do I do it with myself, but I do it for everyone that I listen to talk. You know, I'm always listening to what people are saying as, was that the reality they want to create? Like moment by moment, we're creating our reality, and more so now, more than ever, with each thought, with each, everything we say, and everything we do, and all our actions. And so, yeah, this occasion of just really, really recognizing that you can, a lot of people think, oh, well, you know, well, you can't change what you think. I mean, you know, you just think it and blow up. Well, okay, maybe you have a thought, but in that next instant, if you're conscious and aware and watching your thoughts, or you will then have the choice to change your thought or to have dominion over your thoughts. And this is the key to evolution, is, you know, it's that whole know thyself that really is what that whole book, you know, one of my favorite books, which I put in my favorite book list, by the way, The Sermon on the Mount by Emmett Fox, is all about. That, you know, what Jesus, you know, all right, look, Jesus was, he was a pretty wicked guy, one could say. And, you know, the whole, that book, The Sermon on the Mount, the Emmett Fox, he's somebody that studied the whole of everything that Jesus ever said in his entire lifetime. And I think God to boot. You know, those are two pretty enlightened speakers, even though perhaps it was corrupted when it ended up in the Bible or wherever it ended up. The point is, they said a lot of good things either way. And he just, he committed his whole life to studying what everything Jesus and God said. And the book Sermon on the Mount is what he has distilled down, is the most important sermon or thing or little talk or speech that Jesus gave in his entire lifetime, that summed up the whole of everything he and God were ever trying to say to humanity as a way of supporting them in being spiritual beings in a human form, to show them the path of evolution, okay? And that's what that book is, and it's a skinny little book, and it's a skinny little sermon. And the whole thing, the entire book talks about is that you must have dominion over your thoughts, period. That's it. That's the keys to the kingdom right there. And that the devil is not outside of us, like, you know, all these religions would have us believe, but rather it's inside of us, and it's that thing that says, you know, when you say, I'm going to quit smoking, oh, come on, you know, you can have another cigarette. You can just have one. You know, just smoke one. Or, you know, I'm never eating sugar again. Oh, you know, what's a little piece of sugar? I mean, you just have one. You know, whatever the heck it is, you know, I'm going to get this project done today. Oh, come on, you know, why don't you just take a walk or whatever. That is what it is that our mission here is to do, is to have dominion over it, have say in it, have alter the course of yourself, you know, take charge of that whole system there. See it for what it is, which is, you know, some inherited pattern or, you know, whatever it is, but it's not who we are at all. It's not who we are at all. And that's the first step, really, to being able to have mastery in it, is to see that it's not who we are, and then, you know, become interested in it. Because a lot of people, they try to suppress it, like Michael was saying, with drugs or alcohol or whatever it is. But for me, you know, I've made a point to get to pay attention to it and be interested in it. And then I've made it my mission to just alter it, the thoughts or the directions or whatever, to suit what it is that I'm about, what my mission is about. And what you discover, and you discover this pretty quickly, I mean, I've found, is that there's less and less conversation or thoughts that don't support your mission. It's rare, more rare. The voice becomes softer and softer. It's like when you finally do, you know, you decide you're quitting smoking or you're giving up some bad habit. And initially it's like, yeah, maybe there's a lot of thoughts about it, but then the less you pay attention to them, eventually they're just like, they give up and retire themselves. And I've noticed that to be the case with really everything, that the more conscious you are, you know, again, all spiritual evolution is about is bringing consciousness to that which is unconscious. Well, most of us aren't bringing a high degree of consciousness to what's rolling around in our head and directing, you know, just that constant dialogue of thoughts. And, you know, I can see that not only have I made that a priority for myself, but also other people. Like, I'm always listening to what people are saying. And sometimes even saying, well, no, you really want to say that? You know, like, did you hear what you just said? I mean, like, just bringing it up, like, you know, it's funny because I remember when I first started doing sessions with people, one of the things I discovered is that I didn't have to do anything at all. I was really happy about that, yeah, because people would come to me like, oh, you know, here's all these things I want to accomplish. And at first I'm like, oh, that's a little bit frightening, like, I hope they don't think I'm going to do anything about it. Like, I mean, they're paying me to do something about it, but, oh, you know, I don't really want to have anything to do with that. And what I discovered, fortunately, and this was the best news ever, is that I didn't have to do anything at all. And that's the only reason why I do what I do, because I don't have to do anything at all. Because if I had to do anything, I would not want that job, first of all. I mean, if I'm busy dealing my own life, I'm not going to tell people I can fix theirs. You know what I mean? I'm just not going to do that. Anyways, what I discovered is that to the person, they say every single thing. If you just let them talk, every single thing that comes out of their mouth is all you need to know. Like, I don't have to give them any new information whatsoever. You know, they always say exactly everything. And there it is. The only thing that I need to do is essentially say back to them what they said. Because for the most part, people don't listen at all. People have all the answers. They're all right there. You know, they always, just as soon as you start asking them, well, what's the situation here? Boom, there it all is in black and white. And all, just by virtue of listening to them and kind of saying it back, is all the answers right there. And that never proves itself to be wrong. You know, it's always, it really is the truth shall set you free. And all you have to do is just listen for it. And so that's the opportunity in us listening to ourselves and in really becoming, you know, our best audience, so to speak. And you know, it's just, there's just a wealth, not only a wealth of information, but all the answers really are there to everything. And our mission is to just have dominion over that. And to be able to guide our choices consistent with what it is we're up to. And so, you know, that's, I mean, I don't know if that is what you wanted me to say, Michael. I mean, I could talk a lot more on the subject, but I think that's the basis of it.
I want to say something. The mind is a sending and receiving station of thought. And that's why we put such a high emphasis on meditation and being soul conscious, because you can get into the higher levels of consciousness where the purest streams of thought are, and they're unadulterated. A lot of the lower vibrational frequency stuff that we tune into, if our habits are lower frequency, if we're used to, you know, just thinking mundane thoughts basically about people and things, and egocentric stuff, then we attune to lower frequency vibratory currents. And the mind is a sending and receiving station of thoughts. So it's like a radio station that's broadcasting thoughts, but it's also receiving signals as well, like it has a built-in antenna. So whatever you're attuned to, that's what you're going to tap into, and you're going to pick up currents of thoughts in the atmosphere, other people's thoughts, thought forms that have accumulated, like vast expanses of cloud, cloudy energy that are full of similar thoughts. This is you know, why, again, one of the reasons why it's so important to have dominion over your thoughts, to be master of our own minds, to be able to choose to think when you want to think and not think when you don't, and also to be able to naturally attune to higher currents of thought, because your internal state is conditioned to that. And, of course, having the sensitivity, you know, to be aware. But we must realize, all of us as superheroes, that we are not the mind. That's not who we are. It's not our identity. And there can be, you know, just a cacophony of noise going at any given time of the night or day for no apparent reason, just like someone's turned a radio on that can't be turned off. And sometimes you just have to, listen to it. And if you haven't got the skills to, you know, move on to higher frequencies. And this thing that we emphasize, man above, basically making our mind one with God's mind through that heart sense, through that love-oriented soul consciousness, is you're attuning to vibrational frequencies that don't necessarily come in the form of low vibrational thought forms. It's more currents of inspiration, currents of impulse, vibrational impulses. So your higher attuned states are more feeling states than actual mental states. So it's a phenomenal subject, this, and this is like absolute foundational stuff, dominion over the mind. And once you've got that, you're able to define the feeling states that you choose to exist in, and all of this, you know, this possibility about existing in states of bliss consciousness and deep inner peace, and maintaining at least a deep beta wave brain state. These all become, you know, distinct possibilities, being able to access theta and delta at will. And this is really where, you know, all of our nourishment comes from, all of our inspiration comes from. None of it comes in these normal waking states of consciousness, in the beta wave brain states, you know, the really superficial, fast-moving kind of stress frequency in our brain. Nothing nourishing and liberating comes from those realms. So being existing in kind of what normal people would say an altered state of consciousness is what we want to be doing. And this this mastery over our own thoughts, dominion over our own thoughts, having the ability to choose to think what you want to think, when you want to think it, not think if you don't want to think, and be able to go up the frequency range and move out of that noisy, chaotic patterns of thought. And we're getting blasted with so much of this. There's so much discordant energy and energy frequencies in the matrix. And the matrix itself is discordant frequencies. And, of course, you know, the powers that be with there are masters of energetic and vibrational warfare. There's a great document, Silent Wars, Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars, or Quiet Weapons for Silent Wars. Quiet Weapons for Silent Wars. Yeah, anyone that's interested in that subject should check that out. And it's fascinating, the vibrations that we have to deal with. And, of course, we are vibrational beings, and when we're affected and impressed and attacked in many ways with these different kind of discordant frequencies, it propels discordant thought. That's what it's for. And you know, if you do the research, it's definitely a strategy and a tactic that the controlling interests of the matrix are employing in order to you know, keep people stressed out and you know, essentially controllable. And so these times that we're in, you know, the whole you know, what we're up against, like it says, I remember we used to read the scriptures, this is not like a trip to a visit to your auntie's house, what we're doing here. You know, this is not a little thing. This is a really big deal, moving into these higher states of being and staying there and really anchoring those in so other people can, you know, be inspired and the osmosis from being in our field and how we're anchoring, you know, new states of consciousness into the new grids that are anchoring into this world. This is what we're doing, kind of human anchors, and we need to have incredible mental psychological strength. I'd say psychological strength. It's absolutely fundamental. And if you don't, you know, goodness me, it's going to be extremely challenging over the next few months and years for most people that don't have this psychological tenacity and haven't practiced these very simple but incredibly important little strategies that we share with you here. So that's a great, great, great question.
Fantastic. Yeah, great question. And another question we have here is from Donna, and she says, will someone address the balance between being and doing and the role of doing in this realm? Sometimes I get confused as to whether I should be in the forest in silence or here in the trenches involved deeply in daily provision and other affairs of this world. Great question. Do either of you guys want to share anything first?
After you, Taylor.
Well, let's face it, that's an ongoing question for all of us now, isn't it? And the answer is, it's all about balance. It's all about balance. And somehow, I just want to say that there is a state of being while doing. And that's the real, that's where the real juice is. So that, you know, in your doing, you are being. That's really, you know, being in the flow. You're just in a dance with what is showing up as there is to do. And at the same time, you're in a state of beingness about it. So you don't have to give one up for the other, really. It can all be being. It can all be a dance and balance of doing things while you're being, and that's the real goal. So that all of life is experienced from that place. So that isn't just about where you have the great experiences are when you're out in the forest. We all know we all love the forest and we all love being in nature, but the real opportunity of the superhero, what the whole superhero training is about, is being able to have whatever it is you have in these exalted states of being, whether it's in meditation or being out in nature or being, you know, doing whatever you love, translate into your everyday life. So that you don't have to, you know, that's the opportunity now that we have available to us. You don't have to go anymore to achieve spiritual enlightenment in some, you know, seclusion in a cave somewhere and not be distracted by anything at all, not have any doing or any of this or any of that. But rather, the real opportunity is how to have, you know, your life be a reflection of that in all that you are doing, that you're being. So that's just what I want to say. You know, it's the real opportunity, ultimately. And then secondary to that, that to me, it really is about being, having that intention and then it bringing balance in and being in appreciation and gratitude and joy for whatever it is you are doing when you're doing it, and bringing a real presence of mind and awareness to it, rather than just, oh, you know, I'm down the trenches, I'm going to get this time, and then I'm going to go off and really enjoy life, you know, after 5 o'clock when the work hour is done, or whatever it is. But, you know, switch that whole thing up to that it's all good. It's all you being in that realm. And so that's always what I'm looking at. You know, that's how I kind of schedule my day. You know, like when I wake up, I kind of feel into my whole day and what's going to have me be in a state, the highest possible state, and all that I have to do and want to do and am going to be doing. And then sort of make my choices consistent with that. Always. You know, I think I'm always choosing consistent with that. But it is a balance. There's no doubt about it. And I've learned where I get off balance and don't and aren't having fun at all. And then it really does feel like doing without any being, and that's no fun. So it really is beginning. It's an opportunity to first have that as your mission in life, and then paying attention to those two distinctions and learning how to create the balance that you need so that you are, even in doing, being.
That's right. And in the yogic terminology, there's some specific terms and phrases that describe this. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, Mike, they refer to it as being Ras Yukt, and it means liberation in life. And this is what we're here to do, spiritual warriors. We're here to blaze in the world, service, through service, but maintaining those, what you could, you know, describe as yogic states of consciousness, which is beyond the world. Our minds, our psyche, our soul is so drenched in transcendental experiences from the meditation, from the soul consciousness, from the orientation of our attitude and awareness that we develop through the practice. Our psyche, our soul, our consciousness is so drenched in this transcendental state of being that you can take that into the world of form and accomplish whatever you have to do while you're still maintaining those, you know, feeling states and states of consciousness within you. And that's called liberation in life. And that's like, instead of the kind of like the new agey and we could say impotent spirituality encourages individuals to escape from the world, to escape from the world, really, to get out of it, to, you know, literally and metaphorically. But that's not what we do. That's what life's for. It's, we're supposed to be bringing the God frequency into the world. We're supposed to be bringing the God self into the world, manifesting in the world. And we demonstrate that through extraordinary accomplishments through our service. And the, like we always say, you know, the first, the kind of the fundamental benefits of doing this training and doing the practices is the virtues you develop, the qualities of being that you develop as a human being. And then the powers come. The powers follow the virtues, because you don't get the powers if you haven't got the virtues, because you're going to be irresponsible with the powers. You won't be able to handle the powers, and it will be destructive. And so, you know, one of these virtues is just being able to handle increasing levels of stress, increasing levels of busyness, increasing amounts of pressure if it's on. You know what I mean? You can handle all these things and still maintain equanimity, maintain poise, maintain inner peace, maintain a pleasant disposition. You know, all of this stuff, a jolly, jovial sense of humor and all of that. These are all virtues. And so that's a great question. What do you got to say about that, Mike? Mike McIntosh is pretty Raz Yuk, can't you, bro?
Yeah, you know, it's a good question. And, you know, I think one of the things I think was just showing there was, there's, in India specifically, there's the sannyasis, or the gurus, who go away from their houses. They have some kind of spiritual awakening. You know, often they've got married and they're like dealing with the family, and they might have some job or something, and they just, at some point something snaps and they're like, I just can't deal with this. I need to just be in the forest doing my yoga and like having enlightenment, because I can't be bothered with all this drama. And they literally leave their household, a lot of times leaving their wife and kids without anyone to look after them, which is a bit kind of ruthless, go into the forests to do their meditation practice. And people come and give them food, or they, you know, wander around wearing loincloths, staying in caves and eating berries, and bringing their awareness with the soul world, trying to attain moksha, you know, eternal liberation, and merging with the Brahm element. So their whole thing is about just being in the light, basically. And they have what's called limited renunciation, as in they renounce the world, the pleasures of the world, and the activities of the world in order to attain enlightenment. And what we do as superheroes is we stay in the world, but we have unlimited renunciation. So we realize that we don't own anything, that we don't really have to do anything, that we're just doing, you know, divine service through us, and we're instruments for making a difference in the world. But it's not us personally doing it. We don't need anything, you know. And I feel that the more we are detached from needy, me, wanting name and fame and wanting all this stuff and wanting bigger things and all this, all the material things, the more we just don't care and we're just here to serve as best we can, that's really being in the world and being beyond the world. And there's a sense of peace that comes along with that, you know, like if something happens or if it doesn't happen, you know, it's, we're doing it as instruments to make a difference. It's not that we have to do it, otherwise, you know, we feel, you know, we're lacking something, you know. There's a higher level of freedom involved. And along with that, one of the things I think worth mentioning is that each individual has a unique makeup, in not just in terms of their body and their constitution and what's best for them to eat, but also how much stimulation someone thrives on, how much time in silence someone thrives on. There's an optimal balance, and we can't always have that optimal balance because life throws things at all of us. But I think it's worth really getting the balance as best we can so that we can be as effective as possible. So some people, they love going out a lot and spending time going to parties and getting lots of stimulation and running around, and that actually charges them up. And if that's the sort of person you are, then it's good to continue doing that and be in the flow, you know, in large amounts of action and just running around and making things happen. That's fantastic, because the world needs people like that. And then there's other people who prefer more stillness and silence and more time to reflect on things and very specific things that they do that they're very good at, you know, and that is massive power that comes through in that form. So I think when it comes to being and doing, it's also, you know, what is your personal balance? Where is it where you can be most powerful, most effective, most in the flow, in the zone, in your joy, and feeling charged? And that's, you know, that's the superhero journey, to find out what that is for each one of us. But that's gonna, once you've got that flow happening, that divine flow, the holy flow, being in the zone, once you've kind of got that sense, that synchronistic, magic, wonderful reality that's just flowing through you, and your life becomes days and days and days of wonder, then this question of being and doing won't exist anymore, because you're living your dharma, and it's just happening gracefully. And this idea that you have to do this or do that, it all just becomes so merged and so graceful and so much one extended thing that you're just, it's done, you know, and you won't even be thinking about it. So I really feel it's worth thinking for yourself, what is your optimal zone, so you can be in the zone, be in the flow, be detached, and everything that Nick and Taylor said, and have fun with it. You know, it's an experiment. Every day is like we're mad scientists of our own crazy world, and every day you're in the lab of your world, of your life, and you get to see what the result is of your crazy experiments every day, and it just gets better and better. So we've got a nice question here for Brother Nicholas, especially about Sun Pop. Aloha, I'm doing the Sun Pop program, and I'm really uncomfortable when I enter the Colosseum and look at people cheering at me. This is from Nicole from Vancouver. Also, when Nick mentions heaven on earth because of you, can you please help me tip to be more comfortable with this part of the Sun Pop? There you go,
yeah,
bro.
Sure.
What do you reckon about that?
Yeah, I'd love to, Nicole. So basically, you know, Sun Pop, same as any of these, you know, deeply relaxing guided inner journeys, it's designed to reorient your psyche. The theme has been up in this all these questions today, you know, about the mind, about the thoughts. If we have certain attitudes and orientations of our mind in a certain way that aren't really serving us, and we can upgrade them, you know, we have to go into these deep states of deep relaxation, these deeper levels of consciousness, and repeat new themes, new ideas, new structures, and establish those in our psyche. You see, the power of the spirit, it has to flow through that psyche. And if the psyche is oriented in a dysfunctional or a disharmonious or a small way, then, you know, that's how the energy is going to flow. That's how your creative energy is going to flow. And you are going to be, your behavior, what you're manifesting in the world, what you're creating in the world, is going to reflect that to a degree. And so the Sun Pop in particular, and I'll deal with this heaven on earth thing. All it's basically saying is that what you need to associate your goals with, the reason, what you want to achieve and accomplish in your life. If you associate that with what your soul's purpose is, what your spirit is here to do, what your spirit lives for, your spirit lives to improve the lives of others, to improve the quality of life for everything and everyone. That's its main drive is to give love, to express itself, its own inner nature, which is this perfect love and this perfect energy that it just enhances and improves and really affects atmospheres, individuals, and beings, situations in the most positive and uplifting way. That's what it does. And so we want to let that thing come through. And so any of our goals, anything that we do, we need to see the consequence of that in our imagination in the most powerfully harmonious way with the will of God, we could say, that's coming through us. And this heaven on earth, okay, this is it's an archetypal term. It's a religious term. It's an archetypal or mythological term that when we think of that heaven on earth, it automatically throws up a wonderful, wonderful images of harmony, people living together, caring for each other, no trouble, no war, no politics, no money, no everyone just a perfect paradisical situation. That's the heaven on earth. So it's just an image to illustrate a point, a probable, possible future. It's an archetypal image, the heaven on earth thing. And the idea is that when you're meeting these dysfunctional elements of your own ego, when you're meeting the ego construct, the wounded child, the victim, the prostitute, and the saboteur, these four archetypal components of the ego construct, and you're practicing the forgiveness there, the ho'oponopono, and just sharing that love, the consequence is heaven on earth. That's the consequence. So you're doing it, and the consequence is heaven on earth. So just by you healing yourself, you're associating it in some part with heaven on earth. So that means that just by you working on yourself, it is helping heaven on earth come down. And that's exactly how it works. When we do this inner stuff and clean and heal the wounds within us, it allows more of this energy to come into the human world. And we're all moving towards this wonderful future. And we need to be holding a vision of it, especially in a deeply relaxed state, very, very, very powerfully in our own psyches. Else, if we're just responding to the physical material world, there's not much evidence of heaven on earth around. So we have to be holding it somewhere. So that's the reason why we've got the heaven and earth thing there. And as for you feeling uncomfortable, with walking into the Colosseum with lots of people cheering for you, well, that is specifically integrated into that program to generate self-esteem. When you walk into somewhere and there's 100,000 people or 144,000 people and all the angels and everyone just absolutely rejoicing at your presence, believe me, that's very good for your self-esteem. So you'll get over it and just enjoy it and keep practicing and string those 21 consecutive days together, and the magic will unfold.
Yay. That might be the last question, actually. Let's just have a look again. We had another one, but it was from last time, so...
Did we get that one about the addiction?
Yeah, we got that one.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, we're good. So, Nick, would you like to finish up with a little prayer or something?
Sure, bro, yeah. Yeah, so let's just take a moment just to close our eyes and just put one hand on our heart and just smile, looking up within. Just take a few soft, gentle, deep breaths. Just drop into that heart space and remember the tenderness, the beauty of your tenderness in that heart space is really what connects you to the Holy Presence. Warriors, spiritual warriors have all got wounds. We've all had to fight and battle through certain periods of our lives. So there's tenderness in there, and the tenderness is what we use to reach out to the Holy Presence, the presence of God, or whatever you want to call that magical, powerful, all-powerful presence that just brings so much goodness to everything. And just reaching out with that tenderness, just with a sense of gratitude and appreciation. And let's just think for a moment all the things that we do have gratitude and appreciation for. What have you got to be thankful for in your life? And just think about those things and just pump yourself up with that gratitude as if you're like pumping up a deflated tire or something. It needs a bit of air in it just to get it rock hard. And just pump it up there and just add a little bit of burning faith into your inner cocktail. Add a little bit of burning faith, burning intense faith, burning certainty, nizchay. And just keep saying thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Taking deep breaths as if you're breathing from that heart space and you're really breathing in the love of God. Breathing in the peace of God, the power of God, or whatever label you want to put on the infinite Holy Presence. Now just imagine yourself wherever you are in the world right now, just radiating blessings right now, just radiating blessings out from the room that you're in. Just feel as if waves are going out, energy waves are going out from you, pulsing out in every direction simultaneously, just pulsing energy waves out, blessing. See that wave of energy just going through all the particles of creation, blessing this room. Blessing this this environment, this vicinity that you're in, this town, this state, this country. See it going out through the oceans, pulsing out through the whole world. So all beings everywhere are blessed. And see it going out through the earth, out into the solar system and the galaxy, through all the billions of stars in this galaxy, into the universe. Just pulsing out ever-expanding ripples and waves of blessings emanating from you, from that epicenter of burning faith, tender heart connection to the divine, gratitude, 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 anchoring with the breath. And just see yourself blazing, just burning with the holy fire, blazing. Nothing can penetrate it. Nothing negative can get in, and anything negative that's in your field, in your mind, in your body is incinerated by that holy fire. Blazing. Just give thanks. Give thanks.